Welcome back to the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. My name is Barry Odell, and I am your host. Fulton County Gospel News is a bi-monthly publication of The Church of Christ in Mammoth Spring, Arkansas. If you'd like to learn more about the paper, visit our website, mammothspringchurchofchrist.com. You can get our contact information there. You can get the paper as a PDF in your email or as a hard copy through the United States Postal Service. Get a hold of us. Let us know what we can do for you. The subscription is always free. Also, you can find us on Facebook in a couple different places. You can find, of course, Fulton County Gospel News Podcast on Facebook, but also Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring. You can like and follow those pages, and you'll get a bunch of good biblical content. Also, if you've not yet subscribed to the Podbean channel, go to podbean.com, search for Fulton County Gospel News, and become a follower of that. Today, I want to read to you the third and final article from the November-December 2022 edition of Fulton County Gospel News. This is our fourth part on the expose of Reformed theology and Calvinism, and my friend Brock Kendall, who preaches in Harrisburg, Arkansas, wrote this article entitled, About Limited Atonement. The teachings that flow from Reformed theology and Calvinism are among the most destructive and blasphemous heresies of all false doctrines in the religious world. To be very clear, Reformed theology and Calvinism's God is not the God of the Bible. The God of Reformed theology and Calvinism is a monster who has purposely and deliberately ordered condemnation to men who have no free will or choice in the matter. They are simply predestined to hell. If Reformed theology and Calvinism's view of God is accurate, then nothing really matters. Why? Because if you are predestined to hell, there is nothing you can do about it. Even if you wanted to be saved, you could not. What is most tragic about Reformed theology and Calvinism is that it has crept into the hearts and minds of the church that belongs to Jesus. Evidently, some of our own brethren have failed to test the spirits, 1 John 4:1, to determine if Reformed theology and Calvinism is of God. The third basic tenet of Reformed theology and Calvinism is that Christ died only for the ones God has unconditionally chosen to save, also known as limited atonement. The implications of this tenet are a natural outgrowth of the doctrine of unconditional election, which is the second basic tenet of Reformed theology and Calvinism. Essentially, the false doctrine of limited atonement teaches that Christ died only for the elect. In other words, Jesus came to save the saved. David N. Steele and Curtis C. Thomas, in their book called The 5 Points of Calvinism Defined, Defended, and Documented, said Christ's redeeming work was intended to save the elect only and actually secured salvation for them. Christ's redemption secured everything necessary for their salvation. The gift of faith is infallibly applied by the Holy Spirit to all for whom Christ died, thereby guaranteeing their salvation. That's on page 17. There are a multitude of passages that Reformed theology and Calvinism misuses and abuses to support their false notions. Space doesn't permit me to address every one, thus I plan to address a few in the remainder of this article. John 10:15. So because of limited space, Brock was not able to put in the text of the Bible, so he gives us the reference. I'll read the Bible verses as he has them listed. John 10:15 reads, As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So back to the article. The argument made from this verse is that Jesus died only for his sheep, which Reformed theology and Calvinism take to mean his elect. Reformed theology and Calvinism would say that Jesus' atoning sacrifice was limited to his sheep, or the elect. The way to answer this argument is by appealing to the context. In verse 16, Jesus expressed that there are other sheep, I have which are not of this fold, who would come into his fold. Reformed theology and Calvinism denies that an individual can change from sheep not of his fold to sheep of his fold. Also, there are many other examples of individuals who changed from being not of his fold to being a part of his fold. They include the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11, and the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 1, 13-14. The second verse that Brock references in this article is 1 Timothy 2, 3-4, so I'll read those for us. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Does this passage affirm that the salvation that God offers through Christ is limited to only the elect? The answer is a resounding no. As a matter of fact, it affirms the opposite. God desires all men to be saved. If this is the case, then why are not all men saved? The answer is found in John 5:40, which Jesus expressed to the unbelieving Jews that were not willing to come to him that they might have life. Friends, it is true that Jesus died for all of humanity, but it is also true that many will not have the desire to embrace his sacrifice. It is also true that salvation is limited to those who obey him, Hebrews 5:8 and 9. But it is not true that salvation is limited to those whom God unconditionally elected before the foundation of the world, regardless of the choices humanity makes. The next passage that Brock references is Titus 2 verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. God refutes Reformed theology and Calvinism in this one passage. Does this passage state that God's salvation is limited to only the elect whom he chose from the foundation of the world regardless of what man does? No, it certainly does not. Paul clearly states that salvation has appeared to all men. But again, not all men will embrace this salvation. In order for the salvation that God has brought to the world through his Son to benefit a person, that person must respond to it favorably. For example, in Acts 13:44 through 46, some of the Jews were, quote, filled with envy after hearing the things spoken by Paul. Paul proceeded to tell them that they had rejected the word and thus judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. How did these particular Jews judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life? They did so by rejecting the word. These Jews decided, through their own will, to not be saved. Thus, man is either willing or he is not. God is not going to coerce one into obedience. Yes, he has brought salvation to all, but that doesn't mean all will accept. Is this not clear? Yes, it is. Why does Reformed theology and Calvinism make it so convoluted? The final verse that Brock references in his article is Romans 9:13, and that verse simply reads, "As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated." This passage has been used by Reformed theology and Calvinism as a proof text to support the tenet of limited atonement. The argument used in relation to this passage is that the love of God in giving Jesus as a sacrifice was not a general kindness to all creation. Rather, it was a special and discriminating love, the favor which he bears to his own people, as distinct from others. Dear readers, this line of reasoning sounds quite different than the biblical teaching that there is no partiality with God, Romans 2:11. Romans 9:13 simply shows that God was not unrighteous in his selection of Jacob to be an ancestor of the Messiah. Admittedly, this passage shows that God preferred Jacob over Esau even before his birth. However, this preference was in regard to the election of the descendants of Jacob as the people through whom the Messiah would come, not in their salvation. Friends, the gospel is for all, Matthew 28:18 through 20, Mark 16:15 and 16. Jesus died for all people, Luke 19:10, John 12:32, Romans 5:18, 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15, 1 Timothy 4:10, and Hebrews 2:9. The blood of Christ can wash away anyone's sin, 1 John 2:1 and 2. It would be extremely difficult for us to devise a teaching which would be more out of harmony with the teachings of the Bible than the doctrine known as limited atonement. This false doctrine stands in direct opposition to the death of Jesus for all, John 12:32, and the Father's desire for all to be saved, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. All right, so that's the end of that article. Pretty straightforward, not a lot for me to add to it. It is really hard to believe when you look at all the tenets of Calvinism, whether it's sovereignty of God, total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, preservation of the saints, you know, the tulip that's so often associated with Calvinism. You think of what limited atonement teaches and how clearly it contradicts so many passages in the Bible. And to me, as if that were not enough, think about the fact that it contradicts the doctrine of limited atonement contradicts the very nature of God himself. We're told in the Old Testament and in the New Testament repeatedly that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't show any partiality. In fact, I'm going to turn over to a passage. One of my favorite passages that addresses this idea is when Peter went to the household of Cornelius and he began to speak to them. Peter, being a Jew, and he had several other Jewish men with him to a Gentile's house, he opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." And listen to verse 35. "In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." Now listen, if Calvinism were true, that verse should not be in Scripture because of the whoever, and then because of every nation, and then because of, well, you have to work righteousness. Calvinism denies all of that. It denies the whoever. It denies the work righteousness. It denies every nation. Calvinism is such a narrow-minded, arbitrary, and evil doctrine. And when you just simply compare what Scripture says, for instance, in Acts 10, 34 and 35, with this, as Brock called it, and rightly so, a convoluted doctrine, you have to stick with Scripture. So many people, the problem though is that so many people, instead of wanting to know what Scripture says, they are married to a doctrine. They're married to a particular theology, and so then they'll go to a Romans 9:13 that says, "Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated," and they have to twist that some way to figure out, well, that's talking about individualistic salvation, and it's just not. But it's like Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, there are unstable souls who will twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. And that is precisely what Reformed theology and Calvinism does. All right, well listen, I appreciate you tuning into this episode of the Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Again, you can follow us on Facebook at Fulton County Gospel News Podcast. Like and follow that page, or Church of Christ at Mammoth Spring. Like and follow that page. Subscribe to the podcast, podbean.com, search for Fulton County Gospel News. And if you'd like a paper, if you'd like to subscribe to it, it's always free. You can get it as a PDF or as a hard copy in the United States Postal Service. Visit mammothspringchurchofchrist.com and let us know what we can do for you. All right, well, thank you for listening today, and I will catch you on the next episode of Fulton County Gospel News Podcast.